This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning to you. Welcome in on a Friday morning. It is the ninth day. I'm ahead of myself. The ninth day of May. I'm already thinking it's Saturday. Sorry about that. Happy you're with us, though. Kim and I are getting so comfortable with ourselves here on the show now that she thought I had gone and changed clothes during the break. She
didn't. Were you always wearing a vest?
Were you wearing a vest when you first came in this morning? Yeah. It was a little cold in here, so I put a vest on.
But does a vest, if you're wearing a short sleeve shirt, does a vest really keep you much warmer?
Absolutely does. It warms up the core, so that makes a difference. It's like, honestly, like do you remember our friend Nick we used to work with?
Yeah.
He wore shorts all through the winter, but he had not all through the winter, but when it was fairly cold outside, he's still wearing shorts. But you can do that as long as the rest of your body is warm. Don't you think?
You men.
That's just logic. That's just my logic there.
The whole idea was that as long as your feet are warm and your hands are warm, the rest of your body will be warm.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Ask Bernie Sanders. He needs to get the mittens. Coming up, we're going to get to Breon Wells here in a few minutes. He is actually on the Trade and Policy Committee, the British American Business Association. And there, of course, he's going to be talking about this UK trade deal and why it's a good deal for the UK, why it's a good deal for the United States. We got that coming up here in the next segment for you. We'll get a check of business after that. We've got in other news next hour, we'll talk a little bit more about yet another federal judge that has stepped in to try to block the president and some of his efforts on homelessness. And some of the grants that have been handed out willy-nilly. Is that the right word for it? Like, we were throwing money at people in this previous administration. Well, we've been doing it for years. But just like nobody ever questions how the money's getting spent.
Well, first of all, would it be, instead of homelessness, would it be unhousedness?
Unhousedness.
Please say it correctly.
Sorry. anyway, I love the fact that at least they're trying, and these judges, I think, are going to get smacked down, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. We'll talk to Tanya J. Powers about that in the Capitol Beat today about 7:35. Lots of great stuff for you on this Friday morning, but we're going to start with some of our top stories here, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Of course, there's lots of speculation on whether Leo will continue the progressive reforms of his friend Pope Francis. No one knows for sure yet, but we do know that in February he did tweet, J.D. Vance is wrong. Jesus doesn't ask us to rank our love for others. You had me at J.D. Vance is wrong.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert loves the new Pope, just in case anybody was wondering, because he's got some controversial tweets and retweets over the years where he was pretty seriously a never-Trumper.
again, to have the Pope from the United States of America, that's a great honor. That's a great honor.
Yep, there you go. President Trump reacting yesterday. He's never met the Pope, the new Pope, but he's proud to say he's an American. And from Chicago, who apparently spent time in St. Louis for about a year.
The people who wrote those books were not in the White House with us. And they didn't see how hard Joe worked every single day.
Every single day. Jill Biden to the rescue one more time during that View disastrous interview with Joe Biden where they're trying to resurrect his image, but I'm afraid it is a sinking ship.
The president looks, he looks very old. He looks as if his first pet could have been a dinosaur.
John Kennedy yesterday and trying to sum up this resurrection tour for Joe Biden. I mean, I don't know what else you'd call it. They're trying to salvage his image, his legacy. So they're going around. They did that interview with the BBC first for some reason, and then they went to the friendly confines of The View. And I don't know if you listened to it or not. Did you listen to his
not
response?
Not all of it. I listened to clips of it.
I was kind of rambling. I mean, you know, he's got...
No, Joe Biden rambling? Out of character.
He's got these certain things that he always gravitates back to, and in people with dementia, they refer to this as a cover. That may not be the medical term for it, but I remember when my father was suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's in his case, he would try to say things to elicit responses or things he had that were comfortable to him that he had said over and over and over again. And you hear him repeat these throughout conversations mm-hmm. as a way to cover up things that he wasn't sure about. Biden does the same thing. He's got rote memorization that he's memorized certain things in response to certain questions. And of course, they've been trying to do that with him on this question of what he knew and when he knew it. And I want to get to that full interview we have on that one. Ethan, I'm not sure which number this is. Is it number 9, maybe? Let's go to cut number 9.
9's the shorter one. 8's the full.
Okay.
Like the entire thing.
Go to cut. Go to cut number 8 so you can hear Jill's response afterwards.
Yeah. Mr. President, since you left office, there have been a number of books that have come out deeply sourced from Democratic sources that claim in your final year there was a dramatic decline in your cognitive abilities. In the final year of your presidency, what is your response to these allegations, or are these sources wrong?
They are wrong. There's nothing to sustain that, number one. Number two, you know, think of what we're left with. We're left with a circumstance where we had an insurrection mm-hmm. when I started. Not since the Civil War. We had a circumstance where we were in a position that the pandemic, because of the incompetence of the last outfit, right. end up over a million people dying. And we're also in a situation where we found ourselves unable to deal with a lot of just basic issues, and which I won't go into in the interest of time. And so we went to work, and we got it done. And, you know, one of the things
one of the things I think is that the people Jill who wrote those books were not in the White House with us. Mm-hmm. And they didn't see how hard Joe worked every single day. I mean, he'd get up, he'd put in a full day, and then at night I'd be in bed, you know, reading my book, and he was still on the phone reading his briefings, working with staff. I mean, it was nonstop. It's the White House, being president is not like a job. It's a lifestyle. It's a life that you live. You live it 24 hours a day. That phone can ring at 11 o'clock at night or 2 in the morning. It's constant. You never leave it. And Joe worked really hard. I think he was a great president. And if you look at things today...
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you look at things today, give me Joe Biden anytime.
Trump wasn't bad.
That's worth it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of how it went. He gets lost in the middle of his statement. Jill jumps into him to try to defend him, saying, You weren't there in the bedroom at night. Well, I hope not. Thank goodness.
You know, that's one of the things that that Joe Biden would do to get out of having to elaborate is he would say something. I don't want to get into it. And then say, for the sake of time, I shouldn't talk about that. I've been talking too long. No, first of all, you're very slow to talk. And again, we're not trying to poke fun at people who had dementia. You talk about how your dad had Alzheimer's. My grandpa had it. I know plenty of people who have dealt with it. And it's really, really sad to see someone go through this.
I don't know that that's what he's got. I'm not diagnosing him, but there's definitely.
I mean, come on, he has
some form of dementia going on with that guy. They need to just send him to a beach in Rehoboth or wherever he's been going.
Stop trying to do damage control.
Yeah,
stop going on these interviews and these shows.
It's not helping the Dems at all. All right, we'll get to a break here. We got Breon Wells coming up. He is working with the British American Business Association, among other things, and he can talk a little bit more about this huge, beautiful, big trade deal struck with the UK yesterday. We'll be right back.
Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
You have to remember, this is not just a headline deal. This is thousands and thousands of products that are going to unleash $5 billion of our ability, our farmers, our business people. We can now sell to the UK that we've never been able to do before. And you know, my favorite part was I bring Donald Trump the deal and I say, look, here's the deal. And he says, come on, how can I make it better? So I go through all the details and he picks up the phone and he calls the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and he makes the deal $1 billion better yesterday. I mean, more fun than working for Donald Trump?
Yeah, of course, that is Howard Lutnick there, the secretary who helped negotiate some of these deals. Talking about the deal with the UK that was announced yesterday. We got Breon Wells with us right now. And among other things, he is co-chair of the Trade and Policy Committee at the British American Business Association. And Breon, welcome in.
Thank you. Good afternoon or good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. So first of all, what's your reaction to this trade deal? I mean, whatever it is, they got it done pretty quickly.
So they did get the concepts of a plan and a general framework done very quickly. And I think, you know, the markets obviously responded and welcomed the news, and I think that this is a step in the right direction. Both parties, President Donald Trump, as well as UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, acknowledged the historic nature of this deal. But they also said that there are details that still need to be finalized. I will say that we have been in talks with the UK to try to find a trade relationship that works, right, and that is more permanent since 2020, when, as a result of Brexit, the UK left the European Union. And so, you know, the devil is always going to be in the details, and we'll see how this progresses.
What are the... In your opinion, what are the tariff issues between the UK and the United States? Lutnick there said we're suddenly going to have access to products that we didn't trade before. And in addition to that, this also adjusted tariffs. So do you understand what he's talking about there?
Yeah, so it did adjust tariffs, and it adjusted tariffs really that the Trump administration put into play across the globe. What it does not remove is the 10% universal tariff that went into effect on what, you know, the Trump administration would call Liberation Day. However, it would, you know, for automobile industries, the tariffs would, it would result in, you know, 100,000 cars from Britain coming in, and instead of that 25% tariff, it would go down to 10%, you know, per 100,000 cars. But additionally, when it talks about on the U.S. side, we're talking about the beef, right? We're talking about literally the beef that is going to be going into U.K. markets with lower or reduced barriers that had been there before. We're talking about ethanol. We're talking about, you know, these opportunities for farmers. We're talking about things about like intellectual properties and some of these deals that we have been negotiating with one of our strongest allies. The last thing I'll say, though, is coming into this in 2024, it is noteworthy that there was a $12 billion surplus that the United States had as a result of its relationship, trade relationship with the UK. So technically, we were already benefiting from this with the UK. At the tune of $12 billion in 2024. But this provides probably even more opportunity for the U.S. economy to benefit.
The other part of this trade deal that I notice is going to have an impact specifically on steel and aluminum, because there was that, well, I think it was like a 25% tariff or something like that on imports into the U.S. That's been scrapped. But you still hear critics saying, you know, he made it seem like this was such a big deal, but it's really not, you know, nothing to get that excited about. What do you say to those people?
I would say that is a fair assessment because, again, and I would say that even the Trump administration acknowledged that this was a plan, the concept of a plan, a framework, an agreement that still has yet to be finalized. For instance, Congress still has to weigh in. Congress has the constitutional authority. And so we'll see whether or not Congress does weigh in, but you can expect that to be a part of the conversation. Outside of that, you are right. Steel and aluminum has been zeroed out, the tariffs that have been zeroed out. But this deal, as I said earlier, we were already at a $12 billion surplus.
Right.
So, you know, It's one thing to acknowledge that with a country that we have this sort of relationship with. But let's expect to see in the next coming days, particularly this weekend, the negotiations that are going to be happening in Europe between the U.S. and China, right? We were expecting deals with countries like India. And, of course, the India-Pakistan skirmish probably in some ways impacted the viability of that, at least in its most immediate term at this weekend. And so the bigger deals, you know, that are forthcoming with some of these nations that maybe we did not have as strong a relationship with, are the things that we still need to see forthcoming.
That's true. And it's, and they've still got to negotiate with the EU. Whatever was accomplished here is separate from negotiations with Europe, correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Breon Wells, listen, now we appreciate your insight on this, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Yep. Take care. Interesting. I didn't realize we had a plus on the trade surplus with the United Kingdom. I didn't know that. But maybe this opens up the market more for them as well. I mean, it's still a plus.
Well, I think the idea, too, is that other countries see, okay, well, the U.K. made a deal, even if it's not some astronomical deal. Okay, so let's get the ball rolling here. You
plus
know what I mean? Let's begin talks.
Reduce those tariffs so my new Rolls Royce is going to be less expensive.
Oh, is that what you're about to buy?
I'm just telling you. I'm very pumped about this. It's going to be awesome. Thank you. Just sell the house, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, your wife
free
will love that.
Free up a little bit of cash. Yeah. Coming up, we'll check business for you with Nicole Murray. Stay tuned.
He's the first American pope that was a strike against him. He's young, two strikes, but he's got a lot of worldwide experience in his previous popes. So when we were little kids, I used to raise Cain with my two younger brothers all the time, but he was always the holy one. And we used to tease him. you're going to be Pope someday. You're too holy. What do you want to be? And, you know, joking, ribbing. And when he went into the seminary, it's like, oh, wow, okay. And then a couple of years ago when the Pope made him a cardinal, it's like, this could happen. Holy cow.
That's his brother they found in Florida somewhere. He's older. He's the oldest brother of the new Pope. And he was talking about growing up with him in Chicago.
And he was saying how they're White Sox fans. His dad, a Cardinals fan. But wouldn't that be so weird to be telling people, yeah, my brother's the Pope.
Yeah. Yeah, they're selling shirts in Chicago that are Chicago Cubs colors that say, even though the Pope is a White Sox fan, it's better than being a Cardinal. It says at the bottom of it, which I thought was pretty clever. But I play that bite because if you heard the guy's brother there, he describes him as an American Pope. And I posted this yesterday. Congratulations to Pope Leo, right? The 14th, an American Pope. And I've got some guy on here arguing with me that he's not an American Pope. And, Brian, I just don't know what else to say to you. Everybody kind of tried to explain it to you here. The man was born in Chicago. Pope John Paul was born in, like, Poland. They call it, he was a Polish pope. That's the land you were born in. Whether he lived in Peru, even if he became a naturalized citizen there, it doesn't matter. He was born in America.
I would still call him an American pope.
Yes.
But, I mean, I understand where he's coming from when he's saying that he'd lived in Peru for 20 some odd years.
Whatever.
He was a missionary, but we can still acclaim to fame. Not only is he from Chicago, he's from the Midwest, but he also spent about a year or so in the late 1970s right here in St. Louis, South City. There is a parish over there, and he was serving there.
I know.
Which is pretty cool.
I know. I thought so. Anyway. All right, let's get to Nicole Murray, please. Good morning, Nicole. How are you?
It's Friday.
Yeah, we're very happy about that, aren't we?
And it's like crappy weather here in Jersey, so I'm like in the worst mood because of it.
Let's just talk about that for a second, because that was the point I brought up, was these consecutive days in a row where you have this gloomy weather. It really does have an impact on your mood.
On your mood, on your productivity,
yes.
On how much you want to get done. I just want to be home in my sweatpants with my dog right now.
we're in for a beautiful weekend. Sorry to rub that in, but whatever was here has clearly moved on over to the East Coast, and it's cleared things up here in the St. Louis area.
Well, thank you for that. I hope you enjoy lovely weekend.
Mark's trying to spread cheer everywhere he goes.
See? That's just what I do every day here on the show. What else is happening out there?
All right, let me shake that off, if you will. futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 254, the NASDAQ up 189, and the S&P 500 up 32. Lion's Choice is closing its last remaining location in the Kansas City metro area. An employee working at the Liberty, Missouri Lion's Choice told the Star that management informed staff that the last day would be Saturday, May 17th. The St. Louis-based chain, known for its roast beef sandwiches, closed 4 locations last summer in the Kansas City area. St. Louis Lambert International Airport officials say they expect an uptick in customer service regarding its lots, garages, and shuttle buses if a new company takes over. LAS is set to replace SP Plus LLC. The change must still be okayed by the city's board. President Trump has unveiled the details of the trade deal made with the UK. Under the deal, most UK goods will still be subject to the global 10% tariff. However, UK steel and aluminum will be exempt, and UK's car tariffs will be lowered to 10% from 25% for the first 100,000 vehicles. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has unveiled an air traffic control modernization plan by investing in new technology. Duffy predicted the project will take 3 to 4 years to complete. Duffy did not, however, specify how the government will pay for the new equipment. Igloo is expanding an earlier voluntary recall of its U.S.-made coolers due to possible amputation and crushing hazards. The recall now applies to more than 1 million Igloo 90-quart flip-and-toe rolling coolers sold in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And finally, Daily Mail reports that low-cost airlines are set to debut standing-only seats in 2026. Don't worry, the standing-only seats will come with seatbelts.
What?
Okay, yes. I saw this and I thought it was a joke.
There's no way that's true.
I think it's a joke. Are you sure?
It looked pretty legit. Like, I saw a whole visualization of how they plan to, how they plan to like model the planes and whatnot. And it's basically just like a board that you get strapped to, but you're standing the whole time.
There's the okay.
I don't know. I saw it.
You got to be really desperate to buy a standing room only ticket on an airplane.
That ticket better be like $15 in order for me to stand for 4 hours if I'm flying that long.
But people are desperate. It's rough out there. It's rough out there.
The picture looks ridiculous if you Google this.
Did you find it?
It looks like you're Hannibal Lecter.
Did you find it?
Yes, I saw it the other day.
What's the source?
Well, okay, it's on TikTok, but I know what Nicole's talking about. It has a Daily Mail headline that's on the bottom of this image. So I was going down a rabbit hole looking for this information the other day. But seriously, it looks like you are Hannibal Lecter being strapped to the dang board. You might as well wear one of those face mask creepy things, too.
So you know, an hour and a half flight to Chicago, maybe. But
you can
fly
to
L.A. You can fly to L.A. or... You'd be standing for like 5 hours. I mean, that's just crazy.
I mean, maybe they'll only do it for shorter flights if this does come to fruition.
Oh, my God. But how does this save them any space?
Well, because you only have people standing up in a vertical line versus sitting.
Now, what you have to factor in is, let's just say this is actually legitimate. Could you push them? Could you lean them back? Because we've all been behind those annoying people who have no concept of personal space, and they lean their chair all the way back. Just because the chair can go that far back doesn't mean you should do
no,
it.
No, I disagree. It's
no,
what it's
Mark,
there for.
Don't. I'm never flying.
No, that's
behind
what it's
you.
There for.
No,
and
you have
moves
to be
like
considerate.
2 inches. It moves like 2 inches.
No,
what do you mean?
No, it does get irritating if you have your tray down and someone's putting their seat all the way
goodness.
Back. That's irritating.
Yeah, well,
remind me to never fly with
that.
Either of you.
The seat does that. You're allowed to.
Yeah, you're allowed.
You're allowed
mean
to
you
use the equipment as it's installed.
You didn't.
If I'm sitting behind you, I'm going to take my shoes off and put my feet right up on that little
Kim
hand
is the
rest.
One kicking the back of your seat the whole time you're flying. Is that
if
what you're
you
saying?
Put your chair back, I might consider it.
Oh my God, that was you.
Might be.
usually I'm on board with you, but this one, if the seat does it, you should be able to do it. If it was installed that
Thank
way.
Thank you. Thank you. Whether you're standing up or not.
Mark, I don't think I've ever agreed with you once. This is like
probably true. This is a big day.
What a big day.
Nicole, you'll evolve. It's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, enjoy the weekend.
I have no response to that. Thank you so much.
All right. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Nicole. Yep. Oh. Yep. So anyway, I almost ask her if she ever notices if Gordon changed clothes or not, like between commercial breaks.
Well, there are people who are watching on Facebook who are saying that they too, women in fact, who are saying that they wear a short sleeve shirt with a vest and that somehow keeps them a lot warmer.
Balances it out. Yeah, it warms your core. Does.
I don't know.
She walked in earlier and said, did you change clothes? Did you just put that vest on? I'm like, no, I've had it on. Had it on all morning. It was cold when I walked out the door this morning.
So you wear a long sleeve shirt. Like, I always wear a sweater.
Got my Whiskey Dickerson t-shirt on here from my friends who printed these up, and my MASH t-shirt. So there you have it. See?
Why don't you just wear like little socks? I don't know. It seems interesting to wear a short sleeve shirt with a vest, but I guess that's just a guy thing to do.
It's like, are you one of those people that will sleep in the winter and you got the blankets on, but you stick one leg out?
Absolutely not. I am not one of those people.
Okay, well, I am. So
you hang your leg over the bed, don't you realize
someone
could
grab it? Well,
not over
the bed, but just like out of the cover. Somebody could grab it.
No.
My kids are old enough now that wouldn't happen.
It's the dead of summer, and I have to have my comforter on. It doesn't matter. I'll just blast the fans.
So you're just cold all the time. I get it. All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News for you here in a few minutes. Next hour, J.J. Carafano, good timing to get him on because of what's going on with this situation in India and Pakistan. I'm told I've been mispronouncing that all these years. So we'll kick that around with Jim Carafano at about 7:20. Back in a minute.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
Well, if you struggle to get enough greens in every day, there's a new trend that's going viral on TikTok, and it's called Dinosaur Time. Basically, what they're saying is you channel your inner dinosaur by grabbing handfuls of greens, so lettuce, spinach, kale, whatever you want, and you basically stuff them in your mouth and you chew them really quickly.
I'm not a brontosaurus. I'm a T-Rex.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that with a steak.
You sound like what's his face from Parks and Recreation.
Sorry.
Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
You clearly have mistaken me for the food my food eats.
What you need to do, and Sue, maybe you can attest to this, if you're making a smoothie, if you shove a bunch of spinach or kale in there, you really can't taste it.
How would you ruin it?
That is true. What's the, well, it's really, I don't know. Depends on what else you put in there, but you can't tell.
I mean, maybe it's green, but you're not really tasting it as long as, like you said, Sue, you have, you know, fruit or whatever else in there.
See, that's like the ad they used to have for those super beets that Dana did all the time. It doesn't taste like beets. Like, you have to advertise it that it doesn't taste like how awful it normally tastes just so you'll eat it.
Sounds like
beets are nasty. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yes.
You remember Popeye the Sailor?
I do.
You just go spinach right
it
down
worked
the hatch.
For his spinach, absolutely. Yeah.
Then he, can't we then just he eat normally?
People up. Yeah,
that's the problem. People are eating like crap, and so now you have to
act like a dinosaur. Just eat like a normal person.
Hey, so this is what happened in Salt Lake City this week, in case you don't keep up with Salt Lake City news. Listen.
Every resident to look up at any flag that flies at City Hall and be reminded that their community values belonging and acceptance. And that their community values every one of them.
So the government in Utah and the government up in Idaho, both did this, right? The city governments made the LGBTQ flag the city flag. They did this in Salt Lake this week as well. Now, why would they do that, you ask yourself? To try to get around a state ban on pride flags. So, in other words, the law just said you can't fly any flag other than the official flag of the city on your flagpole to keep them from flying these pride flags all the time. So these cities, to get around it, just adopted the pride flag as their state, as their city flag. And don't be surprised if they don't try some garbage like that in St. Louis.
I'm surprised more cities haven't tried this.
But now it'll be just now the legislature's going to have to go back and fix that. I just don't know any other way around it. These insane progressive left cities have lost their minds.
Welcome to 2025.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, did you hear Trump talking about Victory Day? He wants to celebrate Victory Day on May 8th and November 11th because that would be the end of World War I and the end of World War II. So he's calling them national holidays. So now a lot of people are talking on social media saying, hey, will I get off work on those two particular days? Don't get too excited because Trump has said, you know, while we do want to commemorate them and honor them as these victory holidays, he says we will not be closing the country for these two important holidays, again, November 11th and May 8th. He says we already have too many holidays in America. There's not enough days left in the year. We were workers then and we're workers now.
I would agree. I think we have too many holidays. We probably get rid of a couple of them, don't you think?
I think Arbor Day should be a federal holiday. I think that's a really important day, and we need to make sure we can all go hug a tree.
You and Nicole Murray, just trying to get more time off. That's all that is.
Producers don't get off for any holiday.
There you go.
It's true.
Some of us don't get off.
That is very true. So I talked earlier about the fact that Highway 54, south of Kingdom City, just as you get into Jeff City, is going to be a nightmare if you're going to the Lake of the Ozarks. Just be warned about that. Construction started on that bridge down there on the 5th. And it's down to like one lane, and there's lane width restrictions. So you might even have trouble getting like an RV or something through there. So you got to figure out a different way to get to the Lake of the Ozarks. Now, speaking of the lake, they're putting in a $350 million resort down there that's got rides, amusement park rides, and all kinds of stuff in Osage Beach. They've now determined it's taken them longer than they thought, so they've now pushed back the opening until sometime next year. So it's going to be 2026 until this big high-end resort opens up at Lake of the Ozarks. That place is going to look so different a year from now, you're not going to recognize it.
Well, people who have property there will love it because their property values are going to skyrocket.
They already have, yes.
Which also means their taxes will skyrocket.
Is this taken over for the casino they didn't get?
Probably.
Like they found something else put up there?
Yeah.
Hey, if you're planning to cruise at all, specifically to Mexico, just a heads up, you're going to have a cruise passenger fee that's going to take effect this summer. Beginning on July 1st, you're going to be paying $5. Now, it was originally supposed to be $42, so it's come down a little bit, but it will go up to $10 between August 1st, 2026 and June of 2027. And then from there, it'll actually continue climbing a little bit. But they're trying to say there's such a big tourism area and they're really just trying to make more money. I guess this was supposed to be implemented back in January, and it kept getting pushed back. But if you are taking a cruise specifically to Mexico, you're going to have this fee. And I don't know if other countries do this or if it's just Mexico implementing this.
Well, if you're trying to avoid that, maybe you could book your flight standing up.
Oh, that's a fantastic option. I'm still
not
convinced
that's
real.
Save a little bit of money on this end, and then you won't mind paying the $5 cruise fee.
Maybe that's all the discount you'll get if you stand up for your entire flight.
Exactly.
$5 off and a free bag of peanuts if you stand up the entire flight.
It's like the entertainment fee they now charge at any restaurant in Chesterfield, I found out the other day, all to pay for whatever the renovations are doing out there.
They also have a surcharge on eggs, by the way. Yeah. A number of restaurants still have that.
Are you a cruise guy?
We've cruised in the past. It's been a while. I think probably the Disney cruise is the last one we did.
Yeah. None to Mexico.
We went to their private island and a few places. It was a really good time. I had a friend who went on a European Disney cruise, which was just over the top, like combining a European cruise vacation with being on a Disney ship. It was, can't imagine what it cost.
I'll say the same thing. I can only imagine.
We're talking about doing a cruise next year, and it'd be my first one.
It's fun with the kids, particularly the Disney cruise. Mm-hmm. They do it right because when you drop the kid off, so you can go have some parent time. Like they're completely sealed in the middle of the ship, and they've got a little RFID bracelet on, so you know where they are at all times, and they got it figured out. I'll just tell you that.
By the way, did you see this new Barbara Bush stamp that they unveiled yesterday?
No.
Yeah, Melania Trump was talking about it. There's going to be some sort of a dedication that will take place on June 10th, but it's Barbara Bush's face on the good old stamp.
That's nice. I got to interview her one time early in my reporting career.
She nice?
Super sweet lady.
I bet.
Yeah, you felt like you're talking
she
to your grandma.
Like she looks like she'd just make me muffins.
She would, probably. She was a very sweet person, I'll tell you that. All right, coming up, we'll get to J.J. Carafano. We'll be right back.